Welcome to the Mint Euro Special 2016 podcast. Over the next 30 days, Ankit Prasad will take you through some of the most exciting happenings from on and off the football field.
Hello and welcome to European Nights, everybody. Today is Sunday, the 19th of June, and I'm Ankit Prasad. Yesterday was a pretty bad day for at least a few people, and also for our predictions, but we'll gloss over that part. Here's what happened. Belgium had a point to prove in Bordeaux versus the Republic of Ireland in the first match, and coach Mark Wilmots did not shirk. He made three changes to his starting 11. Fellaini, Nainggolan and Simon made way for Moussa Dembele, Thomas Munir and Yannick Ferreira-Carrasco, and for Ireland, Stephen Ward started in place of Jonathan Walters. Belgium were controlled in possession in the early exchanges. There were a lot of crosses that caused the Irish a few problems, and a couple of times Randolph had to bail them out, but mostly they got away with it. At the other end, Ireland created almost nothing of note. By the end of the goalless first half, it was clear that Belgium would have to try something a little different, and that is sort of what happened. In the 48th minute, the impressive Kevin De Bruyne beat a man on the right and passed to Romelu Lukaku, who received the ball just outside the box, dead center of the goal, and placed a hard left-footed shot to Randolph's right that left him with no chance. Belgium were 1-0 up. Axel Witsel also took a pop-it goal that the keeper managed to save, but a short while later, the Zenit St. Petersburg midfielder had his name on the score sheet as Munir crossed the ball in, and his perfectly timed run and header went in off the keeper. And then, in the 70th minute, as Ireland pushed ahead to try to get back into it, the ball broke to Belgium, for whom Eden Hazard scuttled forward on the right, evading one ridiculous lunge at the half-line, and then drove into the box, where he found Lukaku in acres of space. The young Everton striker once again found his favoured corner of the net to seal a 3-0 win. The next match was a sort of battle of the minnows from Group F, as Iceland took on Hungary. Both sides looked bright and up for it, and the players weren't letting much go. The first proper chance fell to Iceland's Gumundsson, as Gylfi Sigurdsson's pass made its way somehow to him inside the Hungarian box, where he beat his man and had only the keeper to overcome. However, he didn't get enough width on his attempt to curl the ball around the track-suited Hungary keeper Királi, who got a thick leg to the ball and deflected it away. Towards the end of the first half though, Gumundsson got one over Királi. His in-swinging corner caused the keeper to try to come forward and claim, but he dropped the ball and subsequently got up and took out two Iceland players. The ref gave a penalty and Sigurdsson then stepped forward to make it even worse for him, sending him the wrong way. Iceland were a goal up as the teams headed into the interval. The Iceland fans were in dreamland as the second half got underway and their players continued to respond. Sig Thorsson was wrongly shown the offside flag as he rose highest to head across, which he skewed wide anyway, but at the other end, Hungary also had a crack as their captain Dudak took a free kick that the Iceland keeper spilled but then latched onto before anyone else could. Just when it began to look like Iceland would win it though, the Hungarians got the ball down the right and sent in a great cross into the area of uncertainty, and the Icelandic defender Sævarsson, under pressure and without options, helplessly turned the ball into his own net. That was in the 88th minute, and immediately after, the Hungarian fans behind the Iceland goal began to light flares and firecrackers. Their players appealed for calm so that the match could be restarted, but it ended all square at 1-1. And lastly, in the final third match in one day at these championships, Portugal played Austria at the Parc de France. Winger Ricardo Quaresma joined Nani and Ronaldo up front for Portugal, who were at it right from the off. Now, it's not really the best idea to talk about this match or any of Portugal's matches in terms of chances. They just shoot so much and their players seem in constant competition to score, and by the end, their stats are just ridiculous. But the only one that matters is the scoreline, and in that sense, the first half was totally even. Nani and Ronaldo had several chances which didn't go in for a variety of reasons. Austria hit their only shot on target as the beginning of the second half, but Ilsanker's effort was pushed around the post by Rui Patricio. Ronaldo took a super left-footed shot that the Austrian keeper did the same thing to, and then, in just the next couple of minutes, the Portuguese captain had a header saved off the line. Finally, on the stroke of the 80th minute, Portugal were handed their best opportunity. Ronaldo was fouled while attacking a cross just outside the 6-yard box and the ref pointed to the spot. Ronaldo picked himself up and stepped up to take the penalty. Surely he would score, right? Well, not quite. His shot struck the post and was cleared. And that's essentially that. The match ended 0-0. Next up, we have an unmissable exclusive. A conversation between former FIFA president Sepp Blatter, Switzerland-born, and former UEFA president Michel Platini of France, both disgraced as administrators, both barred from the sport for 6 and 4 years respectively. Michel Platini.
Hello, Monsieur Sepp. How are you doing, old man? I called because I was feeling lonely and you are the only one who will understand. Do you know how embarrassing it is for me to not be the star of the European Championships? These were supposed to be my crowning achievements. The championships returning to France, bigger than ever before. I had truly made everyone happy. 24 nations would be singing my name in the streets for allowing them to play. And then in 4 years, they would celebrate even more as for the first time, we will have a truly European championships with the venues scattered around the continent. It is truly path-breaking. Of course, by then I would have moved on. I would have succeeded you as president of FIFA and would be reforming that decrepit organization. You are anyways so envious. The UEFA Champions League is the best football competition in the world, while your World Cup has been on the decline for many years now. Your policy of taking football to the corners of the earth sounded good in the beginning, but then it turned out that you only meant to take it to those places where you and your friends could fill your pockets. I feel sorry for backing you on Russia and Qatar. In fact, I feel sorry for making any deals with you at all. Unfortunately, I was an idealist footballer and I wanted to do good for the sport, and I thought that if I make a deal with the devil now, I can later escape it. But some spots never come off, right, Sepp?
Sepp Blatter.
Ah, Michel, you were always so naive and emotional. It is because you were a footballer. To run a beast like FIFA, a person is needed who can dissociate himself from all this. You had great ideas, but you did not realize that I was too clever. All these people you say are my friends, you were also one of them. You were my greatest puppet, Michel, and I had hoped that one day you would succeed me, but you were overambitious. You tried to bite the hand that feeds, and surely you knew that I wouldn't take kindly to that. Ah, but anyways, do not worry. You are still a young man in many ways. If you have learnt my ways, you will still be wielding enormous power in UEFA. Once again, I have stalled reform. I hate the word reform. It suggests that something is not right. Football is perfect the way it is. The Americans should know better than to interfere in our affairs. Now I will see to it that the World Cup doesn't return there in this century, like England are slowly finding out. Russia and Qatar were willing to take the necessary steps to fulfill our demands. All our demands. Anyway, there is no point in talking to you about these matters. I hope you will not cry into your pillow. Go out, enjoy the football again. Surely you haven't been banned from buying a ticket and going to the stadium anyway. Football is eternal, like me, and you will also learn the ways of the dark side.
Platini. Oui, my master. Alright, let's pretend we didn't hear that and look forward to tonight instead. We've reached the final round of matches now, and what that means is that each group's matches will be played simultaneously so that there's no asymmetry of information. However, it's not a completely watertight system. Since the best 4 third place teams will also make it through, the latter groups' teams do still have the edge. Group A is the unluckiest in that sense. For one, France are already through with 6 points, and Switzerland are also sure of a 2nd or 3rd place finish, meaning that only one of Romania and Albania will have the chance to join them. The good thing though is that the French are going to be playing the Swiss at Lille, so while those two duke it out, Romania and Albania can settle their little contest in Lyon. Romania currently have 1 point, gained from their draw with the Swiss, while the Albanians were beaten by both Switzerland and France, which means that a draw is unlikely to favour either side. A win could take them through though, and in that way it's more or less a winner-take-all. A look back at history tells us that the two nations haven't played any matches in major tournaments, and of the 16 times they have played, 11 times Romania have won. However, it's not all bad for Albania. The two countries had been drawn together in the qualifying for the 2012 European Championships in a group that also included France, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Belarus and Luxembourg. Back then, Romania and Albania had traded 1-1 draws, meaning that Albania had at least not lost. And just like will be the case this time around if we get the same result, neither side made it through the group. Stanku Bogdan had scored one of Romania's 2 goals back then, and he'll be their main threat again.
Romania's manager, Angel Iordanescu, is taking charge of his country for the 100th time today, though he's not likely to be concentrating on that. He has injury troubles in defense. Albania, meanwhile, will at least want to open their accounts at their first ever major tournament. They have come close. The combination of right-back Husay and striker Armando Sidiku has shown plenty of promise, and they should at least create a few chances today. We're predicting a 1-0 win for the Romanians though, which could also add some drama to the other encounter. Speaking of which, the Swiss will want to secure their berth, which they will even if they get a draw, and if possible, they may even want to knock the French out of the top spot. Their cause will be helped by the fact that Didier Deschamps will rest some players. Matuidi and or Kante could make way for Schneiderlin, and Giroud may also catch a break. Payet, France's best player so far, should be on hand though, as it would be risky to drop him lest his form cool. The biggest squad issue though for France is whether Paul Pogba can find his form, or indeed his footing. He lost his footing like a giraffe on ice, as per one commentator in the match against Albania, and he wouldn't want that to be the most artful description of something he does at these championships. He's been on fire these last two seasons for Juventus, but the French are wary of hailing him as the next Zidane, though that may also have something to do with their own socio-political reasons. The Swiss have good players, like we've mentioned before, and are well capable of causing an upset. In addition to that, there's the small matter of revenge, which we know can be a powerful motivator. There's been a positive explosion of meetings between France and Switzerland in major tournaments of late. It started in Euro 2004 in Portugal when France were defending champions and the two were drawn together with England and Croatia in a difficult group. A fresh-faced Wayne Rooney had introduced himself to the world by scoring a brace versus the Swiss, and then Zidane and Henri had eliminated them in a 3-1 win for France. That sowed the seeds. 2 years later, the Swiss would again be drawn in the same group as France at the 2006 World Cup, this time along with South Korea and Togo. France weren't expected to do too well at that tournament, a prediction that turned out to be quite off as they eventually finished runners-up, but in their opening match they were held by Switzerland to a nil-all draw in Stuttgart. The Swiss, emboldened by that result, went on to defeat both Togo and South Korea and ended up qualifying above France as group winners. Their run didn't last long though, they were eliminated on penalties by the Ukraine in the first knockout round itself as all of their players missed, which is quite rare. And the most recent meeting took place 2 years ago at the World Cup in Brazil, when they were once again in the same group, this time with Ecuador and Honduras. Both sides won their opening matches and met in Salvador on the second match day, where France completely blitzed the Swiss. Giroud, Matuidi, Valbuena, Benzema and Sissoko all scored a goal each, and it was only after they had taken their foot off the pedal that Djamaili and Xhaka scored two goals to add a little respectability to the scoreline. It was the second highest scoreline of the tournament after Brazil's 7-1 eviscoration at the hands of Germany in the semi-final, which you'll be interested to know was sort of spiritually revived earlier today as Chile humiliated Mexico by 7-0 in the Copa America Centenario in the United States. But coming back to the World Cup of 2014, both France and Switzerland made it through that group. France first and Swiss second, but both would be eliminated by an eventual finalist. Switzerland lost to a solitary goal by Angel Di Maria at the end of extra time after delivering a great account of themselves, and France went out to eventual winners Germany in the quarterfinals. In essence, however, the Swiss are good at making it out of groups with France in them, and in tonight's match too, that's what will be their goal. We're backing them to get a 2-2 draw. And that's our show for today. Some of the other groups are more open than Group A, and we'll get to them in the next few days. For now though, I'm Ankit Prasad and this has been European Nights.